Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So, press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 2487, The 5 Phases of Successful Dieting, Part 1, by Jill Coleman of JillFit.com. And I'm Dr. Neil. Welcome back to Optimal Health Daily, where I simply read to you from the best health and fitness blogs for free. This is kind of like an audiobook, but with articles instead, and articles from a bunch of different authors, and always with permission from the sites, of course. Now, on Fridays, I answer your questions. Remember, you can send me a question by going to oldpodcast.com/ask or email your question directly to health@oldpodcast.com. Now, today's episode is a little longer than what I normally read. So whenever that happens, I'll read the first half today and then finish up the rest for you tomorrow. So with that, let's hear part one as we optimize your life. The 5 Phases of Successful Dieting, Part 1, by Jill Coleman of JillFit.com. Quote, "If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten." Tony Robbins. Going on a diet is a predictable process. After 15 years in the fitness industry and having worked with hundreds of nutrition clients, I've started to pick up on distinct phases that clients go through. Having yo-yoed myself for years and watched it happen with competitors and people who go too strict for too long, the dieting process is fairly predictable. Not easy, but easy to anticipate. Some parts are tougher than others, and it's important to understand each piece so that we can create a plan of attack when things start to get difficult. When we know what to expect, we can prepare ourselves mentally and emotionally for those times that we want to give up and revert to the old way. Many people are jaded by diets and the process. That's completely understandable. I get dozens of emails every week from those who have tried every diet out there and, after years of trying, are no better off, and in many ways, are worse off. They have more body fat, more metabolic damage, and not to mention mentally exhausted. I totally get it. So how do you get past the tough parts once and for all to establish a foothold at the more effortless sustainability phase? By first understanding the process, then understanding when the difficulties are most likely to rise, and then knowing how to move through those obstacles rather than backing off, giving up, and marking another diet off the list as a failure. Here are the phases, including what to expect, when to anticipate difficulties, and how to navigate them. Phase 1, excitement. Humans are funny. We get more excited about looking and planning for a diet than actually doing one. We get excited in the anticipation of starting a new plan and the potential for this to be the one that finally works for us. We tell everyone what we are going to do, print out the meal plan, buy the food, prep it, get all set to get results that this plan will deliver. What to do? This is great, and excitement is better than having no excitement at all. But the insight in this phase is that we often are already putting our success in someone or something else's hands. By relying on the plan, rather than our ability to actually do the plan, we are forced to make something completely foreign to us work. Can it happen? Sure, for short periods of time anyway, like a prepping for a contest. But if you want to be successful long term, start now by taking ownership of your expectations and your willingness to do the work necessary. There's no miracle plan, and understanding this up front allows us to ready ourselves mentally for the fact that we cannot rely on the plan, but instead need to work it. Phase 2, overhaul. The first 2 to 4 weeks of a new diet are when we are now doing something that is fairly foreign to us. New foods, new prep techniques, new schedule, new workouts, new amount of mental energy needed to comply. I call this the overhaul because we have taken what we used to do and have ditched it for something completely new. The excitement is usually fairly strong here because most dieters will lose 5 to 10 pounds in the first 1 to 2 weeks via shedding water, and those kinds of fast results motivate us to keep going. What to do? In this phase, it's important to realize that doing someone else's plan for you might be fine for the first 2 to 4 weeks because you're motivated, but eventually, your old habits have a way of creeping back in if you don't stay aware and take responsibility. Prepare yourself mentally for that and examine all the new actions you are taking and decide which ones you might be able to continue to do long term and which ones will need adjustment. The more realistic and honest you can be with yourself at this point, the better you will do. Make a list and mark all aspects that will be tough to do long term and provide yourself an alternative way of doing it that works for you. Phase 3, struggle. This is actually very predictable and happens around 4 to 6 weeks into a new plan. Things start to get tough. We stop seeing results as quickly or at all, and we want to give up. We say, well, this one isn't for me. Back to the drawing board. This point is the most critical for your long-term success. What you do here determines your ability to move forward or fail again. It's the people who move through this phase that ultimately figure it out and find an easier, more sustainable approach. What to do? Awareness that this will happen is the first step. Knowing that, once again, there is no magic plan that will work for you. If you want it to work, you have to work it. And at this point, you need to buckle down and work your butt off. Meaning, lean into the struggle to figure it out. Don't give up. Put your adult pants on and take responsibility for figuring out this phase. Metabolic Effect calls this being a dieting detective because you honestly need to figure out how you can continue on at this point, figuring out what works for you, asking questions, and getting introspective. Look at what you're doing and ask, what is working for me? What is not? What can I do long term? What is unsustainable? How do I make my new habits work with my old habits? To be continued. You just listened to part one of the post titled The 5 Phases of Successful Dieting by Jill Coleman of jillfit.com, and I'll be right back with my commentary. Dr. Neil here for my commentary. Researchers have found that this initial excitement we have in the beginning of a new habit is very real and can be a great motivator, at least temporarily, just as Jill said. Remember, at the beginning of today's article, Jill said the feeling of excitement tends to pass. Think about our New Year's resolutions. On January 1st or 2nd, you know, after the fatigue from the holiday wears off, we have all of this excitement to get started on our resolutions. But as we've all experienced, this excitement wears off. And for some, it wears off pretty quickly. In fact, researchers have found that the average resolution lasts only about 3 to 4 months, and only 8% of people tend to stick with their goals within the first month. That means we need to find a better way, which is Jill's entire point. Now, we're just halfway through the article, so I'll stop there for today before I steal Jill's thunder and start getting into tomorrow's episode. So, With that, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing this show with someone. And I'll be back tomorrow to finish up this post. So I'll see you there, where your optimal life awaits.